Welcome to Simple Wins. I'm your host, Adam O'Leary. Today we have Jen Mancusi. With over 15 years of B2B marketing experience, Jen is passionate about helping businesses grow through data-driven growth marketing strategies. And as CEO and co-founder of GrowGetter, her mission is to educate the market on the value of marketing and how to do it well by connecting the dots between marketing, revenue growth, and a positive ROI. I'm so excited to talk with Jen, but before I bring Jen out on stage, I have to share this quick story with you. I met this business owner for coffee, and he told me about a huge problem that he was facing. Funny enough, I knew exactly what to do. And after 30 minutes, he said, "You're a lifesaver. You just made my day. How can I be of service to you?" I told him what I did for clients, and to my surprise, he goes, "I'd fire my guy right now and hire you instead." That's when it hit me. High ticket sales are all about relationships. If I could systematically solve my prospect's number one biggest challenge, I'd eliminate all my competitors from that prospect's mind. I'm their guy. So I got to work and systematized the entire process, and it worked. Just this last week alone, I've added over $125,000 to my sales pipeline. And if you're selling high ticket services, you need to implement this. I broke it all down for you step by step. Go to bridgemethod.io. Once again, that's bridgemethod.io. All right, back to the show. Jen, a big welcome to the show. So excited to have you on here.
Thank you so much for having me, Adam.
Awesome. Well, there's so many data points to look at, and honestly, it can be a little bit stressful. So how can business leaders look at their company's data without getting overwhelmed?
That's a great question. I think that, you know, business owners and leaders in different groups tend to get focused on the wrong data points because there's so many that are out there, right? We can track everything, but it doesn't mean that we should track everything. And I think that's getting more and more possible just with so many different digital channels and so many different touch points that people have with customers and potential customers. So I think that the most important thing is to start with a business goal and always ask, like, what are we trying to achieve? Where do we want to get to at the end of this month, quarter, year, whatever it might be? And then choose only the top, you know, 2 to 3 metrics that actually map to that success metric for the business, and try not to get distracted by all of the other things we could be tracking in the process.
Fantastic. And I've heard you discuss the concept that CMOs often get fired for tracking the wrong metrics, kind of what you're talking about here. And you mentioned that metrics like cost per lead and website time on page can be misleading. Can you tell us about a time in your career where you had to shift a team's focus from vanity metrics to those that truly drove business growth? And what was the biggest challenge you personally faced in getting buy-in, and how did you overcome it?
That's a great question. And I think the problem that you mention about CMOs kind of tracking the wrong metrics, it's often not their fault. They're being tasked by people who don't necessarily understand marketing to track very specific metrics by their boards or by their leadership. And that can kind of put you in a trap where you're measured against metrics that you know are not necessarily going to help achieve those business goals. And you asked for an example. I just recently was having this conversation with a client. We were, you know, they're looking for guidance on what metrics are going to be the best to track for their new year, new strategy year. And they were basing the goals off the achievement from the prior year. So that, to me, doesn't actually map to the business goals. You know, do we know if the achievement that we had last year actually got us where we needed to be? Are there, you know, other factors that we haven't been tracking that might work better? I find that sometimes when you map out the pipeline and the metrics that go into maybe website visits and conversions and then leads, qualified leads and so on, opportunities, you might find that actually you don't need more of something. You just need to improve the conversion rate between stages, and that will help you hit your revenue goals. But again, if you're just kind of looking at what did we do last year, let's increase it by 10%, that might not actually move the needle. So, I mean, tracking the wrong metrics is certainly, I think cost per lead and time on page are two great examples where they're misleading metrics. Too much time on page might mean that you've confused people. Cost per lead is actually very easy to get down. And without looking at that in a sort of category of metrics, it's meaningless. So if you're lowering the cost per lead and increasing conversion, then great. But if not, if you're bringing in the wrong leads for cheaper, then that's not going to help you. So anyways, it all goes back to kind of mapping to the business goal. And I think the challenge with doing that is that, again, you've got board members, you've got CEOs who are asking for a very specific metric or a very specific achievement. You know, you marketing or you sales are tasked with doing X. So it really is important as a marketing leader or as a growth leader, a revenue leader, to be able to push back and say, you know, we will track that. Sure. If that's important to the board, then sure, we can track that. But this over here is what we think is actually going to have impact. And I actually think that by doing that, by being more strategic, you're adding value in a different way to the business than by just saying, yes, thank you for the mandate. I'll do as you ask.
Absolutely. No, I completely understand that. And this is kind of, it just made me think. So one of the biggest challenges that I know, especially if you're inside of an organization, right? So the CEO is looking down, they have their marketing people and there's your salespeople. And I know one of the biggest challenges that happens is that sales blames marketing and marketing blames sales. So hopefully you know exactly what I'm talking about here, because it's so tough to be able to align kind of the team. So have you had a specific situation where you've had to align marketing and sales around a common goal? And what was your approach and what ended up happening from that?
Yeah, that anybody in marketing and sales has had this experience. If you haven't, you're very lucky. It's always marketing says, look at all these leads we gave you. You know, you're not following up or whatever. And then sales says, these aren't real leads. They're not qualified. I marked them all as junk or whatever. That's always the battle. And so I think that it's really important to create shared metrics. Also, before we even get there, let's create an environment of communication where we're in collaboration between marketing and sales. You need to be in regular communication with your counterpart on the other team or the other team as a whole in order to agree on what success is going to look like. If you're running a marketing campaign towards a particular segment and sales is going after a different segment, you're going to have mediocre results in both cases. But if you're both working on the same area, whatever that might be, then you're going to have a better chance of everything performing better. So you need to have shared funnel metrics. You need to have remove that culture of attribution to marketing versus sales. I think this is another leadership challenge, actually, where, you know, I want to compare where the revenue came from, sales versus marketing. Well, neither one can do their job without the other. I could generate all the qualified leads in the world as a marketer, and if I don't have a sales team to follow up on them, they're not going to turn into revenue. And sales can bang the phones and send out all the cold emails in the world, but if they don't have the right messaging, they don't have the right, there's no brand awareness, there's no social proof that can be created by marketing, they're not going to be successful either. So I think that, you know, this sort of business development or sales versus marketing from a attribution perspective is a trap. We need to be working on the same shared metrics. And certainly you want to track sources and you want to track performance so that you could be more efficient with your budget and invest in areas that are working better than others. That us versus them mentality is a big challenge. So I think, you know, some approaches like account-based strategies, I think work really well for aligning teams. You can get marketing and sales in the same room going after the same account or segment. That can be really effective. I did an interview on my podcast about this exact topic. And my guest told a story about a marketing campaign where they bought the tops of the taxi cabs in New York City with their brand name. And then they had sales focus their call activity on the New York City metro area. Again, if marketing had done that without that alignment, nobody would probably have paid attention. If you're making phone calls in San Francisco, you're not going to have that awareness. So it's a great example of how marketing and sales can work together to make everything work better. But we got to get rid of the us versus them mentality.
That's amazing. And do you have some examples of some key metrics that you know unifies marketing and sales?
Yeah, I think we do really need to focus on opportunity creation and pipeline creation. Obviously, like the metric that everyone can and should be tracking, regardless of what team you're on, is revenue. You want to be tracking revenue. But if you are in a business where the sales cycle is really long, maybe it's 18 months or something like that, you can't track the performance of a current campaign against revenue yet. So you need to have those leading indicators. But depending on your kind of your pipeline and your sales cycle, it could be booking meetings. There's a lot of tools out there that allow you to grade and score your contacts and leads. So I think having a really clear definition of an ideal customer and making sure, like setting up a success metric around the quality of the leads is actually a really great one, because it does eliminate the sort of anecdotal, oh, those leads are weak. You know, if I can point to a number and say, here's how we defined ideal customer. First of all, you have to agree on what ideal customer is, which might seem obvious, but it's not sometimes. I've definitely seen teams where marketing and sales have a disagreement as to what an ideal customer is. That is a big foundational issue. You got to solve that first. And then put some tracking in place to say these meet the qualification criteria, and put a goal for marketing that X percent of the leads need to be in this top tier. Often there's like, you know, tier one, tier two of ideal customer, right? So 55% need to be tier one or whatever it might be. And that's a metric that sales can get on board with and support and get excited about. And then that should lead to revenue pipeline creation and revenue generation in the longer term. But I think if marketing is too focused on marketing metrics at a company level, I'll just like on the side say, marketing needs to be focused on marketing metrics as a team, because you want to make sure your campaigns are performing. If you've got poor open rates on your emails, like that's a problem. You have to fix that. But that is a marketing problem that you need to fix as a marketing team. Please do not bring your open rates and your cost per lead metrics to the business as a whole. You need to be able to demonstrate we're generating quality leads. They are turning into revenue and pipeline opportunity and revenue in the long run.
Absolutely. And that kind of brings me on. I heard you talking about this. I think it was your podcast that you were actually talking about this, is that you were talking about the difference between demand generation and demand capture. Mm. And I thought this is very fascinating, because as a business owner myself, you almost get confused, is where should I be kind of allocating my marketing budget? Should I be looking at the top of the funnel, which is the demand generation, which is brand and awareness, for example, or should I be focusing more of that budget towards the conversion step? And I guess the question that I would have for you is, how do you decide on where to allocate that marketing budget between those two efforts? And what factors would you consider to determine the right balance?
So that's a good question. I think that, you know, first of all, there's been this evolution of lead generation, demand generation, you know, and so on, and all these different definitions. I think we're pretty much moved on from lead generation, I hope, where we're just trying to like bring in as many leads as possible without any reason why they might be a lead. So I think there used to be this like versus, again, like brand versus lead generation. And the concept of demand generation for me is actually all encompassing of both. You have to invest in brand in order to generate demand. And the lead generation part of it is just capturing it when it's there. So I think a lot of people are probably familiar with the 95-5 rule, where only 5% of your potential buyers are actually in the market to buy your product or service at any given moment. So it doesn't mean that you ignore the other 95%. It means you have to be staying top of mind and building credibility and trust all the time in order to capture them when they finally get into that 5% spot. So I think that, like, in terms of the split of brand, investment in brand versus demand capture. It probably depends on what stage of company you're in. So if you're an early stage, like, you know, just launching, or maybe there's low awareness, or you're moving into a new market or something like that, you're going to want to really invest in brand, you know, thought leadership, community, building that credibility and trust. It might mean that you're showing up at conferences or doing a lot of like out of home type marketing in order to build up that brand awareness. Maybe it's 70-30. In the beginning, that's really hard for startups to wrap their head around because you just want and need the revenue in those early days. But if you invest properly in brand at that time, it's just going to make your sales team's lives easier in the long run, and it's going to make it easier for you to capture demand. If you're maybe a more mature company and you've got some of that awareness, you can back off, say, but I would never recommend, you know, just abandoning your brand initiatives entirely. We've seen where, you know, big kind of societal things happen and everybody cuts back on their marketing budgets. And there's evidence of the companies that maintain their brand budgets during that time when the economy picks back up or things level out, think COVID or something like that. The brands that continue to invest in brand during that time outperformed all the others, because once you lose that awareness, it's hard to kind of build it back up. So you have to maintain a certain level of focus on that, you know, value add piece of the marketing puzzle versus the, you know, what's in it for me.
Absolutely. 100%. And a question for you is who, I guess, where should people go to learn more about you, and who would be like the ideal person to work with you?
Great question. So you can find me on LinkedIn. You can follow, if you follow GrowGetter on LinkedIn, you'll hear our weekly live stream, Marketing Demystified. You can find it on podcast channels. You can visit our website, growgetter.io. We typically are working with B2B companies who don't have internal marketing resources. So if you don't have a CMO, we have fractional CMO services. We have a content team. We have a campaign team that help to execute kind of all stages of the marketing funnel. We do a lot of account-based marketing strategies, as well as positioning workshops and things like that. So really, B2B businesses who have limited marketing resources and need fractional support, or if you're a startup, you've just raised a round and you need to get going quickly with launching a marketing function, then definitely get in touch.
Well, thank you so much, Jen. It was an absolute pleasure to have you on.
Thanks for having me, Adam.
Absolutely. And everybody listening in, just remember, if you're selling high ticket services, I'm telling you, implement the Bridge Method. I've broken down the entire process step by step for you at bridgemethod.io. All right, everybody, have a good rest of your day, and we'll see you on the next episode.